In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I was speaking to you earlier about something as we were waiting for the Orban to come. Those who hear the word of God, or those who have been in a lecture hall in university, or those of you who are in high school, or even those of you now in middle school, you know, you sit in a classroom and you can kind of pick out the people that are smart and those who aren't smart. And the difference between the two are those who listen and keep that which they have heard. There's other people that are very dismissive. They might even be interested in the subject, but when they hear something, immediately they forget about it. So if you ask them, they won't be able to tell you. I've always been a person who has enjoyed odd things. So I know Avogadro's number. How many know Avogadro's number by a show of hands? One. Only one person know Avogadro's number. 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd. Number of molecules in a mole. Why do I know this? Well, I listened in chemistry. Here's the 1s1 and the 2s2 and the 3p1. And you know, when you start to diagram electron things, little things. This is going back for me 55 years. 55 years ago, I was taught this. I was taught cell reproduction, interphase, prophase, metaphase, anaphase, telophase. That was 56 years ago. I remember these things. I don't know precisely why, but as I have alluded, I like odd things, and it somehow appealed. But imagine, you remember the tragedy of the guy that went up into the hotel in Las Vegas, and he had all kinds of ammunition and guns, and he was shooting people at a concert? There was a guy that survived that. Not just one guy, but there was a particular guy that survived that. Guess what happened to him? He got shot up in the next one at another bar. Now you would think, if you were a person of any spirituality, maybe God doesn't want me in this venue where the primary activity is a sort of riot of emotion gathered around music and alcohol. So we found him in the exact same place, smaller venue, doing exactly the same thing, and this time he got shot and killed. There are people that hear stories all the time. Don't you hear the stories of the saints? Don't you hear them every single time you come to church? What's the meaning? What's the meaning if I preach something very elegant, or you hear something from another person, or you read something in the book or the Bible itself, and you go, eh? Where does that leave you for an excuse? Well, all these other people, you know, and that's what, you know, I don't think that anybody is ever going to mention to the person's family who has died in that shooting in that bar that, you know, maybe God was trying to tell him something. Because they're going to say what? Well, how about all the others that were in Las Vegas and didn't get shot? And maybe there was even another one of those. And the excuse that is made is that because some escape what appears to be an imminent judgment, and others are caught up in that judgment, that there's a difference. But there's not. Because you see, one's judgment is merely postponed who survives a tragedy. But the judgment is coming. So the Lord mentions three different conditions about sowing. The sower is God himself, the seeds are the word of God, and then there are three types or four types of souls that are given. The first type is the beaten path. You know how many times I've talked to somebody and said, been there, done that, saw the movie, read the book, got the t-shirt. You're just preaching to somebody who already knows all this stuff. It's of no value to me. That's the beaten path. He's been beaten down by so many different kinds of ideas that the soil of his soul is hardened. He can't listen to anything anymore. I heard that before. I heard that preaching. So what? Doesn't apply to me. I'm smarter. I'm trying to think of which story to tell you next as an illustrative point. I imagine the worst case is the second soil that is described by God. That's the rocky soil. In point of fact, that is most of us. That soil is described as when the seed comes, it implants amongst the rocks. Have you ever seen in National Geographic specials where you will find in a really, really icy and windy and tormented environment, a little tiny flower is growing up out of what looks to be solid ice? Well, that flower doesn't last very long. Or a desertscape where it is windblown and arid and there is nothing on it, and then there will just be something green that is sticking up. Right? More doesn't survive because there is insufficient water. Now, water typically is what? In the symbology of the Bible, it's the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't sustain it. Rocky soil is that soil that goes, yeah. Have you ever seen the people that after they've overeaten during the holidays, they get back into that mood to get in shape and they go to the gym? Yeah. And they got on some brand new clothes that they got for working out. They either bought it from themselves or somebody who is looking at them and going, you need this. And they go off into the gym and you can tell them they're all bright and shiny and new shoes and socks and everything. It looks good. And then those shiny clothes people, they're not to be seen 6 weeks later. They're gone. Because they're enthusiastic. We're gonna do it this time. We're gonna get going. Or some people that have money and they watch these commercials. And you know, you never see somebody that is a real tub of lard on one of those Bowflex machines. Or one of those stair steppers. It's always somebody that looks like they don't need it at all. That's the person that's on it. With a good set of abs and lean body and a smile on their face through all of the sweat. And now they even have those things that talk to you. So you can pretend that you're either riding a bike or you're running through a mountain pass in some beautiful part of France. But the truth is when you buy them, I can pick on poor Abuna Antonius Hanayan of blessed memory. He bought one. You know what he did with it? He put it in the corner of his room and he put his Farageya on top of it. He'd take it off and throw it over the... Nobody uses those things. Amos Serapion has one too. Now, I don't know if Amos Serapion has done the same thing with his that Abuna Antonius did. I've not been in his apartment, but I do know that he has one, and I do know, having owned a gym, it's impossible for me to train in my own place. It's impossible. I have to go to a different place to train. You can't train at home. It's all lies. Every time you see somebody that buys a home gym, it'll be sitting there, it'll be for sale soon. You can't do it. I like to see other people in pain. Remember I was talking to you about the loneliness of the long distance runner, about Billy Mills and all those other things as we were waiting? I can't do that. I can't run for 10,000 meters. I mean, even if I could, I wouldn't. I ran track, but I was a sprinter. And the most we ever had to run were 440s. That's all we had to run were 440s. That's the longest. 440s, 220s, and then multiples of hundreds. And that was it. For me. There was a guy in my high school class named Mauro Reza. It just came into my head. And this guy used to win cross-country races. You'd see him, and then you'd look, and about a mile away would be a pack of other people running together. And I don't know how Mauro Reza did it. It is an amazing feat, but you just don't. So this enthusiasm or this kind of thing, it wanes when the reality sets in that now the word of God that you have heard, that you have rejoiced in, has to become operative in your own environment, between the space of your ears. Now the word of God has got to operate here. And then there's a conflict with what? With my passions. I want to do this. And I hear the word of God, you shouldn't do that. But I really want to do it. You shouldn't do that. But all these other people are doing it. You shouldn't do that. I'm not so special, Lord. I'm doing that. And that's how the argument goes. And the Lord almost always, in the case of people that have rocky soil for their soul, the Lord always loses. As it says in the parable, the thing that is growing in them withers because it has no what? Water. Read what? Spirit. The Holy Spirit lacks to sustain because they will not keep that operative. The third type of soil was mentioned was that which was thrown amongst thorns. This person is a double loser. Because, you know, the person whose life is so filled with other concerns, they say, well, okay, now I've got church from here to here, say 8 to 12 or 8 to 2, whatever it is, if they're staying later to have the agape meal and stuff like that. Maybe they'll be here until 2 o'clock, or maybe they want to talk with friends. So from 8 to 2, I've got this time blocked out. But I have to do this and this and this before church. So if I don't come till 8:30 or 9 o'clock or 9:30, there are people that can tell you exactly what time this sermon starts. Because in order to take communion, you have to be in church before the sermon. Well, actually, before the reading of the gospel. I should have said that. That's the more appropriate thing. You can do without the sermon, but you cannot do without the word of God from the Bible. They can tell you what time it's going to start. And they show up 5 minutes before. Because they're letting these other things move in on that one special time. So then guess what? There becomes no special time. Because the cares of the world, the seeming emergencies, all of the pulls, it gradually causes that which has grown up in that soil to be choked off and died and killed. Good soil, that's someone who takes something and runs with it. I was a friend of the late Anbacaras. And when he was just a bunango, he was a student in France. First, he was from the Sudan. He was from the Sudan and you know, I didn't know his brother. His brother, Abuna Soriel, was almost a doppelganger. I mean, they looked like twins. They weren't twins, but they looked that way. And Ambacross looked cute. There's no way to say it. He had dimples. He had a really engaging smile. He was small. He was polite. His voice was nice. He was cute. And He had read some of the stories while in France of Pope Kyrillus. And his heart began to just burn with this, I want to be where he was. Or at the time, I want to live this life. I want to taste the things that he tasted. So he was studying for his master's degree, and he went to Egypt. He gave all of his stuff away as a student, you know, his calculators and all of his books and things to other students in the university. And he came and he went to the monastery of Saint Bishoy. And he went to Anbasara Bamon, who was Amin al-Der. And Anbasara Bamon looked at him and said, okay, are you a deacon? No. Do you know the Tazbeha? No. What psalms do you know? None. Ambassador Bamon told him, go back to France and study and get your master's degree. Ambakaras did know one word from the Bible. He who has put his shoulder to the plow and turns back is no longer fit for the kingdom of God. When he told this to Ambassador Bamon just, come on. And he took him in as a brother. But do you see how just this one thing? He wasn't filled with all of the kinds of stuff. What do we know about the life that St. Athanasius wrote about St. Anthony? Go sell your goods. Distribute them to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. That's it. He'd heard story after story after story being raised in a house that was a Christian. He'd gone to church. St. Anthony was considered to be a person who couldn't read or write because he couldn't read or write Greek. But he was quite fluent in Coptic, and he wrote letters in Coptic, and we have 10 of them. Maybe it's 5. We have at least 5, maybe 10. My memory's not serving me well right at this moment. But he was not unlearned. And you know, at that time, if you were 18 years old and you'd had school till you were 18, You were educated in the normal fashion. Like today, it would be equal to a bachelor's degree. You know, I remember looking at Who's Who one time. It's it will give you the histories of famous people, and it talked about one of my favorite authors, Henry Miller. And it says about him that he only had a high school education. He went to Brooklyn High School. But it says, at that time, the high school and the rigor in that school was the same as you would get if you'd gone to college. Further, he taught himself French by himself. He went to France, couldn't speak a word, got a book, and became quite fluent in French. And very well received by the intelligentsia of that day. But I say this because it can be just one thing. It does not have to be a giant amount of information that propels you forward. If you really act on it, if you receive it and you put it, because what is the characteristic of a plant that flourishes? It has deep roots, so it can survive the drought. It can survive the wind that causes the plant to go back and forth. without uprooting itself. The depth of the thing is what is important. The depth. If you will take something of the Word of God and let it build in that very sacred and holy place in your soul, you won't need much. And everything else will be like a cascade. Everything else, it's like pushing over the first domino in a long, long line of dominoes. And they all begin to fall because of the momentum of just the first. So in order to satisfy God, and in order to satisfy yourselves, and in order to make increase in your life, hold on to something today. Hold on something from the liturgy. Hold on something from the readings. Hold on something from the synaxar. Hold on to something from the gospel. Hold on to something. Don't let it go. Keep it inside you, and it will propel you forward. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.